A story we're all really, really familiar with. We know it. We talk about it. We've read it. Jesus out preaching. Multitudes, of course. 5,000 men. So we got, what, 15, 20,000 people? Women and kids. And they didn't have, you know, one-hour services with a clock on the back wall for the preacher to look at. You didn't used to either, but you found out that I have a tendency to talk a little long, so you put a clock up there. I really do appreciate it. I really do. You know.
It's slow.
It's 5 minutes slow. But, you know, see, that way we start 5 minutes early and go 5 minutes late. Y'all think I let you out on time. That worked out well. But here they are. And they've had this whole meeting, actually several days of meeting. They're out in this desolate place. And the disciples come to Jesus with a very good statement. Look, 5,000 people. I mean, I was thinking about this. Charlotte's 8,000 people. If we brought in 5,000 people with all the restaurants we have in Charlotte, we could not feed anybody without long lines everywhere. And we sure can't put 5,000 people in Charlotte in the motels. We actually do have a couple motels. You know, but that's a lot of people. Just 5,000 men is a lot of people. And so the disciples come to him. And, you know, very good advice. Send them away. There's villages around. They can go to the villages. They can go to the surrounding area. They can get something to eat. They can find lodging. Say, this is a good idea. Many a time I've gone to God with good ideas. I have. I've thought about it. I've prayed about it. I've worked it out. I've stayed up late at night working it out. Gone to God. Say, I have a great idea. Here it is. What do you think? He says, well, that's a pretty good idea. But instead of that, you feed them. Excuse me? We have a small boy's lunch. That's what this is. A small boy's lunch. 5 loaves, 2 fishes. That's all we've got. Do you want us to go? Again, my comment last week about, you know, disciples being poor. When's the last time you heard a poor guy say, do you want us to go and buy food for 5,000 men? I'm telling you, Jesus had a treasurer who was a thief. Right? Jesus' Lord ministry, that's the name of my counseling ministry. We don't have a treasurer who's a thief. We don't have nothing to steal. Yeah. You can drain my bank account and not get much. You got to have money to have a thief working for you. So I'm telling you, our idea sometimes about where Jesus was is a little different. That was free. That has nothing to do with this. Just in case you wanted to know that. Good advice, but I don't want to do that. I want to do this instead. I want you to feed them. Excuse me. We got a small boy's lunch. That's all we've got. And then he says, have them sit down in groups of 50. And by the way, if we're going to go buy food for all these people, some of these people got to come and carry it back because I can't carry food for 5,000 men. What do you mean have them sit down? Did you know that obedience is always an act of faith? Do we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God? And many times, we're like the disciples who say, increase our faith. But there's three things that are tied together in the Scriptures, like a triangle. Faith, obedience, and love. I'm talking a lot about love today. Yeah, my Taz, Dr. Love on, you know, today. Okay. You know, this is one tie I'll never wear out. I wear it once a year. Well, by the time we wear this one out, I've been around way too long. Love, sometimes it's not a faith problem. Sometimes it's not a faith problem. Sometimes it's an obedience problem. What do you mean have them sit down? Okay, what are we going to do? Sit down, groups of 50. But have you noticed that sometimes God just kind of says, let's do this, and does not explain why. You ever ask God, why, what in the world are you doing? I have. Excuse me. You know, before I was in the ministry, I worked in the shop a bit. I can actually read a blueprint. You know, can I have a little blueprint on this? I can read. You just give it to me. I'll read it. I can read a blueprint. You don't even have to explain it to me. And God just says, come on, trust me. Obedience is always an act of faith. He does not always give us an explanation. Sometimes, I believe, see, out of the five kids, all of them thought they could drive my car at five. All of them. You know? Daddy, let me drive. No. Why not? No. Because explaining to a five-year-old why they cannot drive the car is fruitless. You know? Because on the first couple, you try that. After a while, it's just, no. Because I said. It's fruitless to tell a five-year-old, you can't see over the dash, you can't reach the pedals, you can't drive the car. Oh, yeah, I can. And sometimes that's with God. We're saying, God, why? And God's saying, look, I can explain it to you in really simple detail, and you still wouldn't get it. Because as smart as we think we are, even with the simplest things of God, we still have a hard time understanding them. And so God just says, no, here, do this. No explanation. So sometimes it's not a lack of faith. Sometimes obedience is required. Sometimes it's a lack of love. That last song we sang, I hadn't heard that before. That's a good song. You know, I mean, if Paul was a singer and wrote songs, I think he would have wrote that one. Because that's where it came from. It came out of his writings. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love. Love. See, if I have faith that I can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor, we do a lot of that around here. If I give all my possessions to feed the poor and have not love, it accomplishes nothing. Love. Sometimes it's not a faith problem. Sometimes it's a love problem. Because faith without obedience won't work. Faith without love won't work. Love without obedience won't work. You've got to have them all in there. Like a triangle. See, you have a triangle. You take away one side. What do you have? You have an angle. Yeah. The triangle is gone. You no longer have a triangle unless all the, you don't have a triangle. It doesn't work. You have something else. And so Jesus says, have them sit down in groups of about 50. And the disciples did. And then, see, here's the path of blessings and even miracles. Here's the path. Jesus prays over the food, which is a good habit to be in. Especially, well, of course, that's how today with food poisoning. You know, so you really want to pray over your food when you go to lunch today. Not ours back there, of course, because it's really nice. But see? And he starts breaking it off. And what did he do with the food when he broke it off? He blessed it, broke the food, gave it to the disciples to give to the people. Now stop and think. The blessings in your life, most of the time, have they not come through other people? Seldom am I walking down the street saying, God, you know what, I need some money, and find a bag of money. Seldom. That's never happened. Yeah. Usually, our blessings come through another people. We're raising money for Haiti. Today we got a basket out back, actually, on the missions table that says Haiti. Somebody already threw $20 in there this morning. I'm presuming it was somebody. God might have thrown that $20 in there. But it probably came through a person. I mean, God can rain money down out of heaven, right? Oh, yeah, God can do anything. But the path of blessing is God takes what he has, gives it to his disciples, who give it to the people in need. Who receive it and accept it. Every need gets met, there's abundance left over. We have the opportunity. Well, sometimes we're the one in need, and someone, God blesses us through somebody else. Sometimes we get to be the disciple. Then God says, here, here's your stuff. And then we take it. That was pretty. And we take it. I got to quit saying that, because every now and then I forget to put my phone on vibrate. One of these days, right during the choir anthem, or right at the end where it's really silent before, yeah, then my phone's going to go off, and yeah. But until that day, I'm just going to harass you about yours. Anyway, see, that's why I was in trouble. I didn't tell you that. Every room I was in last night, I was in trouble. Yeah. Everywhere I went last night, I was in trouble. Do you know why? Mark wasn't here. Do you know why? My mouth. That's her first guess. Yeah, that would be it. You know, my mouth is giving me in all sorts of trouble. So, we get to be the disciple. Hey, twice a month, Mayflower gives me a check. Thank God, tomorrow's payday. Yeah. Hey. And I get it. And now I have an opportunity to be a disciple with that. Yeah, most of it's going on me and Barb. That's the truth. And through me and Barb to bills. That's where most of it goes. But some of it, I get to say, okay, this is God's. Okay. Sometimes needs arise. And God provides so that we can be the disciple meeting the blessing of the other person. See how that works? So when we're praying for Haiti, we're praying for missions, we're praying for one of the many things here, the prayer shawls. I mean, we can pray for prayer. Lord, bless those ladies down at Grand Haven Manor. Bless them. They need a prayer shawl. Bless them. And if y'all do like I do, which is not crochet, say, well, if the Lord's going to bless them and I'm praying, then it's got to come through somebody else. Because it's not coming through me. I don't get to be the disciple in that situation. But if nobody is crocheting, then we can pray till we're blue in the face. Yeah. So I'm praying, God bless people. You might be the one. God might say, that is a great idea. I like that idea. Now, you go and do this for them. Oh, no, God, really. I just wanted to pray. I didn't want to go. Excuse me. I don't want to go. I just want to pray. And God says, well, come on. I want to bless them. You go. Okay. We get to be the disciple. Now, that is a great privilege. So, when everybody is being the disciple that God wants him to be, then we come up with our great advice to God. He says, let's go a different way this time. Have the people sit down. So we have them sit down. God starts handing us. We're probably thinking, if I was thinking, I'm naturally negative anyway. You know, okay, well, where is this? How far is this going to go? Okay, we'll give it to the first six. They won't get enough, but, you know, they'll get a bite. And how long does it take to feed 5,000 men by hand? Even if you get 12 of you doing it. I mean, last night, it took 45 minutes to feed the first 95 people that came through. Yeah, we were just sitting there dishing it out. It was cool. Well, if we had 5,000, how long would it take you 5,000 men of chicken supper? It would take a while. It would take a while. We'd still be in there. You know, see. So, he just keeps breaking it, passing it out, breaking it, passing it out. The disciples are delivering the blessing. And afterwards, he says, okay, oh, you're not done yet. Excuse me. Because once we feed the last person on Second Saturday Supper, the work's not done. The cleanup takes as much work. Well, the I've never been involved in preparation. That takes a lot of work. Actually, delivering the food to the people is probably the easy part. That's what I do. And then I skip out on my job and go yak at people. And Noreen had to cover for me last night. I looked up there and thought, she's doing a good job. I'm going to keep talking. Yeah. Yeah, then I come back and said, did you miss me? And that was one of the times I got in trouble. I couldn't believe it. Yeah, I don't get it. Anyway, afterwards he says, let's pick up everything so that nothing is lost. See, that's our job too. There are, I don't know how many people in our community. Used to be good church-going people. Raised in church, maybe. They've been in church for a while. Many people have been in church over five times. Audience participation. Okay. Well, then you know that all of church work isn't as fun as it is here on Sunday morning. Things get said, things get done, things happen. Right? Yeah. Then some people get upset. And some people aren't in church. That's kind of our job too. Picking up the fragments. Picking up the fragments. We've been there. Far and I've been there. After a while, it's like, excuse me, I can worship God on the golf course. Oh, you think God's name's mentioned often on the golf course. That is true. Yeah, very spiritual place. Very spiritual. Okay. After a while, it's not worth the pain and agony. Lord, have mercy. Okay. But it is. It is. Because we're not doing our work. We're not building our kingdom. We're building His kingdom. So we get to pass out the food. We get to pick the food up. And pretty soon, everybody is satisfied. They had enough food and they were satisfied. And 12 large baskets left over. I have no idea what they did with them. They could. I mean, when you got abundance, you can just keep on giving. And that's what happened. God gives to us His blessing. We take part of His blessing and pass it on to others who are in need. They take part of the blessing and pass it on to others that are in need. The blessing never runs out. And pretty soon, everybody's needs are met. Everything is taken care of. The early church in the book of Acts, I just remembered this. When it talks about the early days, it said, and there was no needy among them. See, when the church is doing what the church is supposed to be doing, then the blessings of God keep filtering out and out and out. Yeah. Good place to be. Good place to be. So, be a blessing.